This is Weekend Edition from NBR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
The man that is failing the people more than anyone is Gray Davis. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's failing them terribly. And this is why he needs to be recalled. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm going to run for governor of the state.
That's a man who doesn't really need introducing. California gubernatorial hopeful Arnold Schwarzenegger announcing his candidacy on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno on Wednesday. NBR senior news analyst Daniel Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Linda.
The California recall ballot, it's getting mighty crowded. There are two prominent Democrats, including the lieutenant governor, on the ballot to replace Mr. Davis should he lose the recall vote. But also, the Californians can choose among Larry Flynt, Arianna Huffington, Mr. Schwarzenegger. Hundreds of people are thinking about running. Absolute, literally hundreds. Does it hurt or help Gray Davis that so many people are lining up to take his place?
Oh, it's not the hundreds that hurt Gray Davis. It's the one, Arnold Schwarzenegger, certified media celebrity of global renown. And all the bets you might make about how it's going to come out now have to be recalibrated, you know. This is sort of the Ronald Reagan of 2003, the man who shook up politics in California, the one who came in because he was not an experienced politician, but maybe they found that people don't like certified politicians. Here's somebody who's just made, he said, $35 million on a picture called Terminator. I don't know if he's going to have to give all that up in order to be governor, should he become governor. But what happens then? Does the Terminator call be called ex-Terminator?
He obviously is known everywhere. But what nobody seems to know is what he thinks. His political views are virtually unknown. He has no experience in politics. Does that work against him?
Well, I think that inexperience in certain cases in politics can be an asset. He did successfully promote a ballot proposition on providing kids with after-school programs. But like Reagan, you know, whose father was a drunk, Schwarzenegger has a father to live down. And that I think we're going to hear more about. His father was a member of the Nazi Party in Austria. So he's put his own money now into supporting the Jewish organization, which found out about that. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, whose director, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, I think I pronounce it, did the research that exposed the father's Nazi relationship. So while he doesn't have sort of very specific political experience, he has shown that he's interested in kids, interested in disadvantaged people.
There seems to be some sense that he is maybe moderate, but nobody really knows about that.
Well, he's taken a position, I think, in favor of restrictions on guns. I think he's come out in support of gays. He is, I think, as far as I know about him, and there's a lot I don't know, he is, as Republicans go, a fairly moderate person, with one exception, that he's very much for free trade.
Now, if Gray Davis is recalled and a new governor is elected, that person will inherit all of California's problems, including its enormous deficit. Is replacing Gray Davis with a Republican governor necessarily a good move for the National Republicans?
Oh, it has to be, because if he is a governor in 2004, then you have to look at what's going to happen to California's ballots and to California's vote in the election, which has always come out for the Democrats so far. If that were changed, that would be an earthquake in itself.
Let's turn to Iraq. Thursday's bombing of the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad was a new type of threat in this war. It wasn't an attack against American troops, but against civilians, apparently intended as a punishment for Jordan's support for the U.S. Does this mean that the threat to coalition forces is even more unpredictable?
Well, I'll tell you, we're past the 100-day mark since the president stood on the deck of Abraham Lincoln in front of a sign that said mission accomplished. And apparently the mission remains yet to be accomplished. There are now more than 50 troops that have been killed. You mentioned that the thing has expanded now to an attack on the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad, and no one knows exactly where it'll stop. I don't know whether to connect this at all with what's happened in Jakarta, where a Marriott hotel has been bombed. But the fact of the matter is that if one speaks about the war as being over, 100 days later, it isn't.
What about the possibility that Saddam Hussein might be captured or killed? That seems to be the thing that all of the military people are looking forward to.
Well, they assume that behind all this guerrilla activity, there is Saddam Hussein. That may not be necessarily so. It may not be necessarily so that even if Saddam is killed, captured, or whatever, and there's nothing left of his old regime, it does not follow necessarily that there will not continue to be guerrilla warfare.
Liberia. The United States has dispatched a very small number of troops and military personnel to protect the U.S. Embassy in Monrovia. Liberians gave a hero's welcome to the Nigerian peacekeeping force, which has gone in to help stabilize the situation there. Is there confidence that the worst of the fighting is over in Liberia?
Well, it's very hard to say, because what seems to have happened, as Charles Taylor now says, but he said many times before, that he's going to leave, and that when he leaves, he's going to put the government in the hands of his number two, a man named Moses Blah, B-L-A-H, Blah. But the rebels say they're not going to accept Moses Blah or anybody. So in other words, if he doesn't leave and really leave and leave with all his supporters and so on, the war there may not be over.
So we don't know what the political future of the man called Mr. Blah might be. The U.S. has also said that Charles Taylor has to leave before the Marines assume a larger role there.
Mm-hmm.
But, Dan, do you think that Charles Taylor really does have any incentive to leave Liberia? He's wanted for war crimes, after all. I mean, he might not be safe.
Well, Richard Holbrooke calls Taylor the Milosevic of Africa. The United States has not called for him to be put on trial, even though he's been indicted for war crimes. And so it is not clear what will happen to him. And obviously, when he leaves, he wants to go to some place where he will feel safe. And if they don't find that kind of place, indeed, he may not leave. But I think at this point, the pressures are great enough so that he'll go to Nigeria and hope that the Nigerians will be nice to him.
What about here in the United States? The Reverend Gene Robinson has been confirmed as the first openly gay Episcopal bishop. This mm-hmm. has been a tortured electoral process. What do you think this means for the Episcopal Church?
Well, it clearly means that there's trouble in the Anglican and Episcopal Church. What's happened now is that the Archbishop of Canterbury has called a quite unprecedented, extraordinary meeting of the worldwide Anglican primates to come and talk about the trouble that the church is in. There's talk of schism in the air, something you don't ordinarily hear. So the meeting is in October, and meanwhile they wait for the consecration of Bishop Gene Robinson. And in the Episcopal Church, as in the Catholic Church, believers wonder what they should believe.
Dan, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore.